All we need is a little understanding. Walk a mile in their shoes. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride called life. And if we keep our hearts open-minded, we'll enjoy this wild ride. This wild ride called life.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Truths We Hide podcast. It is Annette here, and I'm very excited to have a dear friend of mine. He is going to just talk about just real life, because that's just what we want to know is real life stuff beyond all the amazing things that we do in life. So, Patrick, Bert, thank you for taking the time to be here. I am very grateful for you. You are a busy man. So
I certainly try to be.
We've been trying to do this for a while, so any chance we get. So yeah, thank you so much for being here. And let's just hear about who Patrick Burt is behind the scenes of all the amazing things that you do.
Oh boy, that's a story. let's see. Man, I don't know. I sent over that little bio, but I feel like that didn't really tell me tell a lot about me. But let's go ahead and jump into, because I'm sure you probably right off the bat have some questions you've been dying to ask me, since I know we've only talked a little bit.
Well, you are a Marine.
Yes.
So let's talk about, how did you decide to go that route? When did you decide? Just that whole mentality, Marine Corps.
Raw. So I would say I knew that I wanted to be a Marine. I think I was like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. And so my dad, he did, I think, 8 years, and my grandfather did 20 years. And so my grandfather's in like Vietnam era. My dad was in Desert Storm. And so I think it was like the first time I saw my dad's cover. And I was like, what is that? Like, why does he like this hat so much, you know? And like, I'm like, why? And so I learned about it over time, and then I learned, and I just learned. And I mean, I kind of knew because of that, for one. And two, I'm like, nah, I'm not going to go to college, because I know if I go to college, I'm just going to drink and party. And so, you know what I did? I joined the Marines and drank and partied and got paid for it. So. Smart.
Very smart.
Yeah. But I joined in 2012, and I worked on radio test sets. I was a calibrator, which I didn't even know metrology and the science of measurement was a thing, especially in the Marines. But I did that and got out in 2017.
Oh my God. So what did you just want to just try it out and not make it a career thing?
There are a few things that kind of played into it. I mean, I broke my arm in my schooling, and so that kind of like, it put me on a weird path, because, I got to take accountability for it. Like, I broke my arm, and then I graduated in my schooling, but I was held back for a year. So I couldn't go to Japan. And, you know, I was contemplating whether it was going to be like MedSep or like, I didn't know. Nobody really told me. It was funny because they're like, oh yeah, we're going to put you in for surgery. And then like 2 days before surgery, I broke my arm again. But like, I'm like, hey, Corporal, I broke it again. I'm like, what the? But so yeah, there was that. But whenever that happened and I got put into it, I was put to be in charge of all of the, basically the students that failed out or were getting ADSEPT or were getting like moving or something. So kind of a bad, you know, crowd. And then, you know, I absorbed a lot of that, and that kind of changed my mentality about a lot of things, because I used to be super oorah, you know, motivated. And then like that just like drained me down. And then that was a big thing. I mean, while I was in Japan, while I finally went over, I mean, everything was fine. Everything was cool. I would say it was about 3 years in that I was like, I was still like, okay, I want to see if I can do this. But then I kind of had an opportunity for outside of the military that I'm currently pursuing now, that it was like, well, I could stay in and you know, do something that I don't really know a lot about, and, you know, or I can just like make a jump and be like, let's go. And made that jump. And so that was kind of the straw where I was like, okay, I don't want to reenlist. I would say either that or whenever I was sweeping rain and I was kind of like, this is kind of dumb. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, oh boy. Yeah, there's some stupid times in there, but barracks parties were cool.
I heard they were not just for you. I think that's in all branches.
Yeah. What you can remember of them. I mean, it's pretty cool. Tokyo was fun. I mean, what I can remember that. I mean, I just remember getting lost.
You said Tokyo?
Yeah. So me and a buddy, we did, that was my first ever music festival too. We went to a music festival in Tokyo and we had this big elaborate plan that we put in our leave and we got it all approved. And then we didn't realize that train tickets were like $300 to go from Tokyo to Osaka. So we just stayed in Tokyo and we met this dude that let us crash at his Airbnb. And like, we got lost on the subway and our phones died. We couldn't find anything. We couldn't read anything. So we're like, what are we going to do? And we're like, let's get drunk. Like, so we were just drinking on the subway and we found our way home. I don't know how, but we did. So, yeah,
just life experiences that we all have to go through at some point.
That's the military. Woo.
There we go.
Yeah.
So what was next for you after that? What did you want to do? Did you have a plan or were you just like, I'll figure it out?
I really didn't have a plan. So one of my buddies from high school he's a smart guy, right? And he is, he was one of those people that like, he got out of high school and he just like made stuff happen. He was like very, he's a very fast learner. And so, I mean, like he's built his own businesses in multiple avenues. And so he kind of hit me up one day while I was in Japan, actually. And I think it was like 2014, 15. And I mean, mind you, he was like 20 at the time and like flying private jets, you know? And so I was like, what the, you know? So he hits me up. He's like, dude, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm day drinking in the barracks. I'm like, what else is there to do? You know? And he's like, you want to learn some cool stuff. And so, you know, we kind of connected there. And then I started learning like a lot about like sales and marketing and technology and just different stuff. And so I took a leap and got out there. But what I didn't know, because I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go work for this guy, be a billionaire, screw you guys, you know? And then he's like, he was like, I had to learn from nothing. So he's like, all right, go out and make money, go out and do sales. And I'm like, fuh, you know? So I got a lot of life experience really quick, a lot of like hardship really fast. And I had to learn very, very fast in order to do what I needed to do in order to like make money. And I mean, learning sales, typically I'll talk to a lot of people that learned sales like over years, and I learned it in like a year. And then I started really honing in the skills and going from an introvert, like I played Dungeons and Dragons and World of Warcraft, you know, going to like, hey, I found you online. I wanted to call you. Like it's a jump, you know?
Yeah.
So, like I remember my first ever sales call. It wasn't even a call to the person. It was a voicemail. And I got so nervous that I made up that my staff sergeant was calling me. So I got off a voicemail. like it was pretty bad, but, I mean, that goes to show anybody watching, you could, if you set your mind to it, you could do it. Cause yeah, I was a wreck, but I mean, now I'm I mean, I call whoever I want and I have no fears. So, but I didn't really have a plan. The plan that I thought was very delusional of like, oh, I'm just going to make money. And it's like, life don't work that way. But I stuck with it because I know that this was a really good opportunity and I learned a lot of life lessons, and it's better than, you know, working if I just got out and worked in the calibrations lab, you know, I know I'd be upset the whole time, you know, I'd be miserable. So, I'm not saying that I haven't been miserable during this process, but it comes with a reward, you know, it's yeah. the lows that make the highs so good.
I like your perspective, and I want to ask you, because you're still young, you still have a lot of life to live, and to have that mentality, how do you keep showing up to do this? Because you could be doing a million other things.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's very hard at times. And so one thing that I kind of did a while back was I put myself in a position to where I had to, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, necessity is the mother of all invention. And so, like, because I had to succeed at this, like, it forced me to grow and grow up really quick. But yeah, there are a lot of times that I just do not want to do anything. I mean, you know, crazy. I mean, you know, we've all had those types of thoughts, you know, and like, it just, I don't want to freaking do this anymore, but I realize that I have to. I realize what's on the other side of it all. And it's not easy at all. But I don't know. I mean, even my parents told me that whenever I get a hold of something that I want to do, and like, I'm not gonna say addicted to it, but like addicted to it, you know, like I'll become obsessed. Like, for example, now this is a bad example, but like gaming and Warcraft, like, right. So whenever Warcraft came out, like, I played a lot, but I didn't just play the game and like play the game. Like, I played the game. I learned about the characters. I learned about the history. I learned about the tech behind the game. I learned about the servers, like. And so I that was kind of my introduction into like networking and computers. And then from there I started like building computers, but I just go down a rabbit hole with some stuff. So like, I don't like to, especially if I like something and I set my mind on like, well, this is what I'm good at, this is what I like to do. I don't want to just like quit, because I don't know, I'm just not a quitter, you know?
Yeah.
I would rather die on that hill than like walk away, you know?
Yeah.
Now, of course, there's certain times when you have to walk away, but like, I believe there are certain times where it's like, yeah, you can go to the end, you know? And that's kind of how I go with this.
No, that's interesting. Do you find that people don't take you as seriously because you're still young?
You know, I haven't necessarily had anybody not take me seriously. I've had, I guess they wouldn't necessarily tell me, but, I've had a lot of people like look at me as if I'm like, I guess, inexperienced and, you know, always young and type, you know. However, it's interesting because in my field in digital marketing, they want somebody young. They're like, oh, you're a millennial, you know, Facebook. I'm like, all right, assume things, but okay. but another thing about it is like, you know, people really like that young hustler, you know. Mm-hmm. People love the young hustler, and I also look like I'm 15 still, so it works. I mean, it's interesting, but I don't necessarily have people be like, he didn't necessarily know what he's talking about, because the moment that we actually have conversation and we talk, I mean, it's they kind of realize that I'm not like others by age, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No. And I think that is important to bring up, because we can't judge a book by its cover just because, right. You look, you know, and it was funny. Just a quick backstory. I was thinking about developing an app, and I was talking to this younger person, and I asked him, because he looked so young, I said, how old are you? And he was only like 25, but he was so knowledgeable in his area. And so he wanted to create this app. He was helping other people do what they want with the app. And so I had to stop for a moment and say, okay, seriously, Annette, he's so smart. And so having that conversation, and I told him too, you know, I'm so glad I had this conversation with you, because you know what you're talking about. I just looked at you and I'm like, oh, you're so cute. That's just my mom mentality. So
I got you.
I just can't help it. So you keep showing up because you know what's on the other side. And I think that's so important. So what advice would you give to people your age or maybe younger who want to get into this entrepreneurial journey and be taken seriously and you know, focus on what's on the other side rather than say, okay, this is too hard, I'm done.
I mean, there's a lot of things that I would say you have to come to terms with, and one of the biggest things is you have to look at reality for reality, because a lot of people try to play the game with different rules, if that makes sense. So people have a lot of, especially younger, I mean in my generation, there's a lot of delusion about how real life works, and so they try to level up and advance and grow around those delusions, around those fake rules. But you have to come to terms with how reality is. I mean, the closer you are to reality, the more power you have over it. And so that's kind of the first thing. You have to accept things how they really are. Like, some things you cannot change. Some things, like, it's going to suck. But you play within your rules. You play within your limitations. From there, I mean, it really depends on what you're doing. Because I know that I had an opportunity kind of given to me, which is very different from a lot of people. You know, I would not say that I'm necessarily self-made, because I had a helping hand the whole way. One thing about that, though, is, you know, I don't think anybody is necessarily self-made, you know, because business is all about people helping people. And you always have to give value to others before you can expect anything in your own. And I mean, so that's another thing that you really have to realize, like, nobody's just, I'm not going to go out there and make it, you know? Mm-hmm. But outside of reality and that, I mean, you have to clearly identify your why, and like, why, you know, why are you doing things? What do you want? And you have to focus on giving value more than the outcome of everything. You know, you have to focus on the actions instead of the just like making money, because a lot of people go into entrepreneurship like, I just want to make money. It's like, well, then they never get it. You know, you have to focus on the actions that help people, and then therefore the money will just fall into play. Be patient with the results but not with the action. So you, like, you need to constantly grind it out. And you know, now another side thing about that is, I do believe that there is a negative, there's a balance that needs to be struck, because there's a lot of this whole just like hustler culture and, you know, fad stuff where it's just like, work 30 hours in a 24-hour day and you burn out, and you know, you have to really line up your whys and what are you doing, and you have to have a plan, and you have to, a big thing that was my difficulty, and it still is my difficulty, is how I think. Mindset is more important than I'd say anything. Because you can, I mean, even if you have a bad idea, you can work on it with the proper mindset. But if you just have a piss poor mindset, I mean, you're done. Like, that's something that, I've learned the hard way, because I've like had a bad mindset, and you'll spiral down so fast. And then you have to come to terms with like all types of stuff. And then you can only then when you can bounce back up. I mean, it's, yeah. And another thing that I learned is, you know, how you are when you're up determines how long you stay there, and how you are when you're down determines how long you stay there. And so if you're prideful and cocky when you're up, then you're going to go crashing down. And if you're, you know, down in the dumps and you're, you know, cocky and stubborn when you're down, then you're never going to go back up. And there's a lot. There's a lot that I've learned just in the last like year about that, that I could just hear, you know.
No, that's so important to share, even with the older generation. We all need to be humbled once in a while and learn about. I mean, shoot, I just started really focusing on my mindset this past year too. Because it's, you know, sometimes I'm just like, whatever, but yeah, no, that's really important. Have you? Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's super important, and I mean, it's funny because I'll talk with my mom, pretty often, about like mindset and stuff. And I mean, she's 50. Hopefully, she doesn't check into this; she'll kill me. But she's gone through a lot of crazy stuff in her life, but and I'll talk with her about that, and she's like, yeah, it's freaking important. I mean, accountability and doing this and doing that, and I mean, it's a lot.
It is, and it sucks. So how do you find time for you, and how do you pick yourself back up when you're at that point?
So that's tricky. So like the last time that I went down in that like super dark area, and one of the reasons why was because I didn't necessarily do anything for myself. And then I looked at like, well, why am I doing things? And especially in sales is a big mentality game. And I mean, I'll go ahead and I'll be 100% honest. I'll tell my lesson. So, I went through and, you know, let's say I had a bad day and then it led to a bad week, and then a bad week led to a bad month, and then I tried to scramble and do this and the other. And, you know, in my mind, I figured that, oh, I'm good. You know, something's going to reach down and be like, oh, here, you're fine, I'll lift you up. You know, never fucking happened. So it went on for like a few months, and then it finally, I mean, I never did anything. I never took any time for myself. I mean, it was brutal depression, but it was the realization as to why I was thinking that way and what I was really looking for, which was basically like a handout. And it was like, damn, I'm being a bitch. All right, let me get to work. Like, like pretty much, you know? And, so, I mean, it's lessons learned. And I mean, like, I feel like a lot of people go through that in their life. And, but yeah, how do I find time for myself? I kind of do and I kind of don't. So it really depends on what I determine as my time. So, and that's one thing that a lot of people have to really write down and lay out with. It's like, okay, cool. Because there's passive rest and then there's active rest. So passive rest would be like watching TV, going for a walk, or honestly, that's better. But like watching TV or playing video games or doing something that just like shuts your mind off, right? Mm-hmm. Entertainment. And then there is active rest, which is, let me go read a book. Let me listen to a book. Let me watch a documentary. Let me watch some videos on how to learn this. Let me go for the gym. Let me do something like that. And so I've switched a lot of my stuff to more active rest. And a big thing about it is you have to enjoy the process. And you have to fall in love with it, and you have to start really loving the things that you perhaps didn't like before. I'll be honest, my entire time in the military, I think I read a book. Mm-hmm. because I was told I had to. Even in high school, I read like two. I remember, funny side story. I remember my parents were trying to get me to read, and this was like right around the time of the first Harry Potter like movie came out, and like I think the first and the second one. And they're like, "Read Harry Potter. It's cool." And I'm like, "Okay, cool. Yeah, I like fantasy and stuff." And then like I read like three pages, and they're like, "Now come back to me in like, you know, an hour and tell me what it was about." And then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be smart. So I came back and I started talking about the first like 10 minutes of the movie, and they're like, that's not how the book goes.
I'm like, damn it.
I'm like, I tried. But yeah, like reading is something I never really liked. But I got freaking Think and Grow Rich right here. I got like some other stuff laid around, but learning is something that I had to learn how to love. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't game. I don't watch TV really too much. I mean, I might do an hour of just like chill, just like do nothing, just browse Reddit or something a day maybe. Mm-hmm. But even then I'll go in and I'll like, I have a sales Reddit. I have a psychology Reddit. I'll look at things to learn, but yeah, I don't really do a lot of just like too much, you know. I just don't feel like I'm there yet. I haven't earned that yet.
So you say you haven't earned that yet. What does that mean?
So I feel like where I'm at now, I'm still in a building phase because, you know, my life kind of compounded kind of negatively from, I mean, in my teenage years, I didn't really do anything. And so my early teens, I didn't really do anything. And so I'm kind of still paying those dues to get everything on track to where I can make money, grow, you know, be a better person and all that. And then, you know, I would probably have more time for that in like, let's say 2 years, whenever I have things squared away.
Okay.
I just don't really have the time. Like if I played video games right now, like that's time that I could be using to build, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm just not at a point to where I can give that time away, and I need to gain something for my time. I constantly need to gain something for my time. And I just can't do that right now. Mm-hmm. I have to build.
So do you set a cutoff time for working, or do you work until?
So I don't necessarily set cutoff times, because what I've noticed is if you set a deadline time of like, I'm going to stop working at 5,
mm-hmm.
then as it approaches 5, you'll give yourself that time to get a job done. Mm-hmm. So I'll look at more as like, I will work until the job is done.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, typically I'll get the job done pretty quickly, but I typically don't work past like 7, 8, okay. unless I'm like really grinding it out, or I have something productive to do, or, you know, mm-hmm. I don't, because one of the, you know, people always, your mind tricks you into thinking that you're actually working when you're not. So, but yeah, so I've learned that that's one thing that I'll do. And especially if I give myself, cause I'm very lazy. And if I say that, hey, I have until 5 to get this task done, then I will span out this task until 5. So I have to not do that. And I have to, like, time management is something that I'm freaking terrible at and I'm always working on. But yeah, like I would say I really don't work past like 7, 8 unless I have something, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you ever suffered from imposter syndrome?
Strangely, no. I never really felt that. And I mean, I see it a lot. But give me your definition of imposter syndrome, because I see a lot of people say like this, that, and the other.
To me, it's seeing someone else's successes and saying, "I wish I was at that level. How come I can't, you know, get that offer? How come I can't get my book like that or whatever?" I it's like comparing myself to other people.
Okay, I mean, comparing myself, yes, actually. But like imposters, because I've seen a lot of imposter syndrome where people are like, I shouldn't be where I'm at. You know, and that's kind of how I took that, but I've never had that, but comparing myself, oh, fuck yeah. And I learned very quickly that you can't do that, because you will just set yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah.
The only person that you should ever compare yourself to is yourself. Mm-hmm. And you should, you know, create a mental image of where you want to be and strive to become that person, because, you know, the goal for life is just to be a better person than where you were yesterday. And because, like, you have to remember, like, how I got introduced into business was my buddy that flies private jets and this, that, and the other. And of course, I'm like, why am I not like that? Like, what am I doing wrong? You know? And it, like, it hit so hard. And I kept trying to mimic him and, you know, do this and do that. And it's just not working. And, you know, he's like, you have to be yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not yourself, then you're never going to be happy, no matter how rich you are. You know, it doesn't matter. You're not you. And, you know, you can't have a mental image of like, I want to be Leonardo DiCaprio. It's like, it's never going to happen, you know, like, I've had that comparison issue a lot. And more recently, I'm really working on my own identity to align with that.
Yeah. No, it's, I think it's still, I mean, it still happens to me or to other people. I don't think it ever goes away. It's all about the mindset, bringing yourself back.
Yeah.
And just trying to be a better version of yourselves. But yeah, that's a hard thing to get past sometimes.
Oh, that's rough.
Do you feel that you received, how do I put this? Are you glad that you joined the Marines? Do you think
I am?
You? Okay.
So it's weird because, like, do I think it helped me? Yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Marine Corps' fault? No. It's my fault because I didn't necessarily grow up the way that I needed to grow up in the Marines. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there are some stellar people there that will learn lessons about, like, responsibility and accountability, you know, mindset, like, very early on. And, like, looking back, it's funny because I will be, like, looking at something and I'll be like, oh, this is why I did that stupid shit. You know, like, there's meaning behind it, you know? Like field day, like, there's a reason why you field day instead of just making sure things are good. But it builds discipline, it builds that repetition, it makes you do something that you don't want to do. And, you know, it's like, it's that discipline kicks in whenever motivation stops. And so, like, you have to have some sort of discipline, you have to have this one. And so do I regret it? No. Was it fun? Yes. Would I do it again? Yes. Did I learn a lot from it? Yes and no. I didn't learn a lot at the time. However, mm-hmm. after the fact, it gave me something that I could really reflect on. And honestly, it's one of the things that I'm not going to say I regret, because I kind of understand, like, the person that I was. But it was like, I wish I would have done more and learned more while I was in, you know?
Mm-hmm. I understand that. So it sounds like you would recommend it to other younger kids.
It maybe depends.
Yeah.
It's not what you think it is. However, mm-hmm. at the same time, it's an experience. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story. So, I mean, I joined the Marines, and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be in this elite fighting force of, like, warriors, you know? And I remember, I was in Oki, and I walked into the armory because I got, like, tasked out to be a custodian for 6 months. And, so I go in, and I shit you not, I am not using metaphors or anything. There were, like, 4 Marines on the tables making monkey noises, banging hammers on the tables. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what? I'm like, what type of freaking apes? Who lets y'all out of y'all's cages? Like, yeah, there's some stupid people, but I've never met stupider people in my life than in the Marines. But I've never met some cooler dudes too. So, I mean, it's, you know. But, like, oh my God. Oh,
I think
believers for sure.
I think that's almost that could be a fair statement for every branch. You're always gonna meet those people that make you think, what in the hell? But then you're gonna meet people who will make a lasting impression. So it's kind of,
yeah, it's like in the Marines, like, you will run into some stupid people. Same thing with the Army. In the Navy, there's just, you'll meet some weird people. It's like in the Navy and the Air Force, there's some weird people in the Air Force and the Navy. And in the Marines, it's like, how are you not dead? Like, how have you not, like, walked into a train? Like, what are you doing?
can't even
like oh my god.
So what would you have told your younger self that you know? Yeah.
Oh boy. If I was 18 and I got to tell myself, I would try and teach myself a little bit more about accountability. I would teach myself about how I'm in control of my life. I mean, victim mentality was something that I had a long time ago. Mm-hmm. And it was, I don't know where it came from. I don't know, you know, but it was something that I didn't necessarily identify. And I think the biggest thing is I would tell myself to sit down and think about how I think. Mm-hmm. And, you know, tell myself that like, hey, you don't have to be that way. You know, you have the controls and you're the only person in your life that can make your life better. And that was something that kind of, cause like I used to just float through my life and, I would just be like, whatever happened, whatever came my way, you know? And so I would basically talk my way out of that. I would explain what I was doing. And, I think that would be the biggest thing is that you can't just expect things to happen. You have to take some sort of accountability. Otherwise, nothing's ever going to change.
That's a good lesson to learn for all of us, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sitting here listening to you and I'm like, dang, like I'm, you know, in my 40s and there's a lot of shit I still need to learn too. So all of us need to hear that.
Oh yeah. That's a big one. Yeah.
So what's your plan for the next, what's your next biggest goal in life? Personally, professionally?
I think, personally, I want to, so I mean, I have a few goals. One of them, I mean, obviously get my money right. I want to get to a point to where I'm making decent money. Mm-hmm. Start investing real estate, something like that. I mean, I would say outside of just money goals, fitness is big. I mean, my health is crucial. I don't know. A personal goal, you know, like I want to try dating, but like, I don't know. I want to work first. Like I want to get my stuff in order, you know, but like, yeah. That's a personal goal. Like, I don't want to be like 60 and be like, man, it's fucking lonely as shit. Like, you know, but I mean, I don't really have any like big material goals, but yeah, money and just start focusing on, once I get my money right, then I can start focusing on more happiness and like discovering myself as to what I want to do, you know, but I don't really, I guess I don't really have any like big, I mean, everything right now is just like, I know what I have to do. I have to build everything out and I have to get everything in order. And like making money is, I guess, my first big goal. And once I have my money made up, then it's like, okay, cool. Now let's start taking down fitness. Now let's start taking down nutrition. Now let's start taking down health. Now let's start taking down, you know, a nicer place to live and a nicer car. And, you know.
So what is the one thing right now that makes you happy?
I would say it's a sense of accomplishment.
That's good.
Because I look at like, you know, I've came this far, and there's a lot, I mean, that's kind of what keeps me going. It's like, well, I didn't come this far, just come this far, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, having a sense of accomplishment gives me something. Cause like, I feel like I've never really done anything outside of the military, you know? And so that really gives me happiness. Helping other people gives me a lot of happiness. Like I love whenever I'm able to Like I'll have a lot of people that it's like, hey Patrick, I know you're the guy. Like I need this advice. Like what do I do? And like, you know, that makes me just like feel blessed because I can be like, hey, you need to do this and this, and like this will help, you know. So I absolutely love helping people. I love, you know, I even have some of my older friends that I keep in touch with that I'm like helping them with like mindset stuff on the side. I'm like, hey dude, like, you know, you got to think about this, you got to do this, you know. But I love helping people like that. That really is that's why I like to do what I do.
That's really good. That's good. Well, I'm glad. I've learned a lot already from you. I'm just like blown away. I hope everyone that's just listening to this is taking notes because,
Whenever you first met me, right?
Yeah.
So whenever you first met, because obviously, I mean, you saw me and you're like, okay, cool. This dude's like, all right, he's got an okay head on his shoulders, whatever. Like, what did you think entirely?
I mean, I thought you were, I don't want to say a good kid just because I'm older. You were a good person. I saw your presence. I saw the knowledge that you would give out to us in the groups that we're in, and your willingness to do the research. So I saw somebody that wasn't just putting up a front. I mean, you dug into the information before you gave it to us. So yeah, I mean, my first impression was like, this kid is smart. Like, I need to talk to him more because I'm always trying to learn, you know, and I never pretend to know everything. I only try to teach what I know. But yeah, I mean, even now you have learned so much about your own mindset that you're willing to teach other people about it. So that's what I thought. I thought this kid knows his shit. So, you know, regardless of we all have something that goes on behind the scenes, and this doesn't happen overnight, obviously. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're a strong person. So yeah, that's what I thought. Regardless of anything else, you have that strength to keep pushing through. And I think that's something that we all need to learn from. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so keep going, man. I think for me, when things get rough, I have to tell myself, or when I get through that imposter syndrome and comparing myself, I have to tell myself it will come when it's time. There mm-hmm. are so many things that I wanted so bad to happen right now, but I wasn't ready for it. I thought I was, and I would try to convince myself that I was, but then I had to be brought back to reality and be told you're just not there yet. And that would hurt my feelings. What do you mean I'm not there yet? I worked so hard.
Yeah. It's, you know, you have to trust the process. And like, there is a, there's something that I posted the other day, and it was like, if you want everything now, you're going to get nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I've been dropping some freaking gems on my,
I know,
on my page. Like, but yeah, like that's big. And I mean, good stuff that I would, a good book that I would look at, and I might, you know what, I'm going to see if I can get it.
Okay.
Here, give me a second. Can you still hear me?
I can.
Oh, okay, cool. Here we go. So here's a book from Ray Dalio. And it's super simple. Guess what? It's a picture book. So I can
read
it. So I don't know too much about Ray Dalio other than he's like stupid rich and he runs like hedge fund, like mega million, you know. But this is basically his book that he talked about, going over all types of principles. And I mean, he goes over basic stuff like, you know, like the 5-step process, like goals, problems, you diagnose your problem, you design a solution, then you do it. Like, it goes into super, super good stuff. And I mean, it breaks it down to where, I mean, anybody, I mean, a Marine can understand it. So, you know, like, but yeah, really good, really good stuff. Yeah, like this whole mindset stuff, like, man, that freaking caught me off guard probably 3 years ago. I'm like, what do you mean I got to work on myself? The fuck?
Exactly.
But yeah, like I've been dropping some gems on my page, and you know, I know there's a lot of people that do follow me that are like, wow, this is good. And I know there's some people that are like, what do you mean? Like, what does that mean? You know? And I mean, you know, teach their own, but I try to help out as many people as I can.
No, and you are. So it's good to see this progression in your life. We're all going to have our ups and downs. So that's just how it's going to happen, but it's all about what we're going to do with it. And you're turning it into something positive. And I think it's really cool. So I'm so proud of you. Well, I know you're a busy man, and like I said, you've just dropped so much knowledge in this session, this short little session that we had, and so I appreciate you. I really do.
Of course. So, I appreciate you for having me on. Okay, yeah, I know I've been like, I need to do that. I told you I would. I'm like, I gotta just find some time. But I mean, I still got some time. I mean, I'm curious. Do you have any other questions, just off the cuff? It's fun.
I'm just trying to think. I think it's just amazing for someone that you, I'm just going to say it, someone of your age, because there are other people in your age group that are not here yet. They're not there yet. No. So
it's funny. So like, and it's very weird too, because my high school clique was the D&D weird kids group. And like, you know, one of them, I'm pretty sure he works at like a liquor store. The other one like got his driver's license like a year ago, and like went to college after flunking three times. Like, you know, I'm like, oh, winners, yeah. You know, but like, I didn't anticipate I'd be where I'm at, like at all, mentally, physically, anything. Like, it's weird. It's crazy, but yeah. Especially kids my age. I mean, it's like, they don't think that way.
Yeah. And it's rare. And so it's who you surrounded yourself with too, I think. Right. I mean, if you surround yourself with positive people or like-minded people, then you tend to want to learn from them. But if you surround yourself with other people who just don't really give a shit, then you're like, okay, then I don't give a shit either.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so you chose to try to go after that, even though it wasn't, you know, you weren't going to get the jet or all that right now. You chose to work towards something, and you kept going.
I had to cut off a lot of people that I really cared about, or I thought I cared about, and just remove myself. Because, yeah, it's like, you're the sum of the people that you hang out with. And you know, if it doesn't matter who they are, that negative mindset is brutal. So we need to, so, but yeah, like I had to cut off a lot of people. So, I mean, it was really weird and just strange to have to do that. But, I mean, it has its, you know, it has its perks to it, especially when you really focus in on mindset, because it's like, I don't know, it changed my whole perspective on life. You know what? Okay, so here's one thing that I feel kind of embarrassed to realize, but I realized this, I want to think like 3 years ago or something, or 3 or 4 years ago, but I came to the conclusion that, because I used to be very self-centered, right? And I came to the conclusion that, you know, other people have their own stories and their whole life and stuff. And I always thought that it was like, oh, it was my story and everybody else is just like an NPC, you know? But no, every single person and that's just like the video game way of explaining it. But every single other person is their own story, their own character with their own backstory, their own future. And it was like, it just freaking blew my mind. And,
it was funny. I was talking with this girl a while back, and I explained that to her, and she's like, "You just ruined everything for me." she's like, it just like blew her mind. She's like, now I have to care. I'm like, well, yeah, you should probably care. I'm like, oh my God. But yeah, it was really funny. She was not expecting that. And see, that happens every time I watch The Matrix with somebody. I'm like, I'll blow their freaking mind. I'm like, oh yeah, did you know this? And they're like, just blow up. Like, oh man. Yeah, watching The Matrix, that movie is dangerous. And every time I watch it, I relate it to mindset stuff. And it's like, holy crap, that's so deep.
Now I need to go watch it again.
You need to watch it. Because I remember watching it the first time. I was like, oh, cool, guns. And then watched it again while I was in the Marines. I was like, oh, wow, yeah, this is a cool little story to it. And then I watched it after I started learning about mindset. I'm like, holy fuck, this is so deep. And then I watched oh, my God. I watched it probably 6 months ago again. And I'm like, this is so next level. This is life. This is so intense. Oh my God.
Great. Whenever
he pulls him out and it's just but oh wow. That's a movie I'd want to watch on LSD. Holy crap.
Oh my God. That would be dangerous. That would be dangerous.
You're gonna have some freaking epiphanies.
No.
Oh wow.
Oh my God. Yeah, no, and I think that I sit here and I'm like, there's so many kids out there that have no idea what to do, or when it's too hard, they give up and they shut down, because that was so me and it had just no direction. So, I just think it's courageous to you decided to.
Yeah, it's different. And I mean, one thing, because I kind of looked at it as I realize that nobody really knows what the fuck's happening. So nobody knows what they're doing. Bill Gates never knew what he was doing. I mean, Steve Jobs never did a whole, Steve Jobs never wrote code, there's all types of stuff. So you can't let, I don't know what I'm doing, be an excuse, because nobody knows what they're doing. You have to figure it out. And that was one of my biggest excuses that I had, was I don't know what I'm doing. Well, okay, then I failed because I didn't know. So it's all good. But no, you can't give yourself that whole pass, because then you never learn. It's interesting. There's just not a lot of kids these days that are learning all of that. And I feel like it's only going to get – the divide is only going to get worse, Mm-hmm. And I'm interested to see how that – turns out, because I feel like it's going to be a freaking cyberpunk dystopia in 80 years. It's going to be weird. But I was watching something else, and I was watching it, and it was going over mindset, and then I realized and this is some next level thinking stuff, but it was people who have their mindset in higher intelligence are literal. I feel like mindset is the next step for evolution, right? So people who have control over their minds are the next step in the human chain. And those will be the surviving species, while the people that don't have control of their mind will never be able to control anything, And it's crazy, because I was looking at that. And I know that's right in your face, boom, super deep. But I was looking at that, and I'm like, man, that's – it's literally a different type of human that can, once you master your mind and you literally just level up and life becomes fun instead of a burden,
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting.
Man, you're making me my brain.
You're making me think.
I know. Why do I have to think right now? There's so much to think about. You need to be giving these motivational speeches to college kids or high school kids something.
I don't even know what I'd do if I got up on a stage. It'd be like, do great.
Do great. I think once you get up there and you start looking around going, that was me,
then yeah. I'm like, hey, you slumped over in the freaking chair.
Yeah.
I know you're thinking about video games right now.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you feel? I mean, video games can be a good and a bad thing. I was talking to a couple members within our tribe who has this whole gaming thing, but he says he's spoken to a lot of kids.
I think it's the Pando.
He speaks to a lot of kids who just need a place. They mm-hmm. need a space to just talk about whatever and just play video games. And so I think it could be a really good thing. But then
it's, I mean, I agree with that. Like it can be a place that can really be your safe haven where like you can just like be you. It's also a very slippery slope. And so this is something that I also learned because again, I was the type of kid that played World of Warcraft for 7 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. It disconnected me from reality in a certain way. Yeah. And, you know, it led me into escapism. And so I would go into things and I would escape from reality and then I would stop learning. And then like communication skills go down. I mean, all types of stuff go down. So like, because of that's why I said like, hey, I'm paying my dues for what I did in my teenage years, because like that set it to where I was very bad at talking to people. That made sales a lot harder. That made getting out there a lot harder. So, I mean, video games, I feel like there's a time and a place for it, but it's a very slippery slope. Right. But it's something that should be earned mm-hmm. instead of, I guess, because a lot of people use it as a crutch for escapism.
Mm-hmm.
I see that. I see that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That when he explained that part to me, I said, you know what? That is one of the pros. There's a lot of cons too, but yeah, if you use it like that, then I think it'd be good as a good escape, but so much. I really just
can't. Have your other podcasts like been this deep? Like,
not necessarily like this. And so that's why I'm like,
there's like, oh yeah, there's an emotional deep. And then there's like, well, I have to go contemplate life and how it means now. Like,
this never happened like this. I'm like, I need to go watch the Matrix now. I need to go like rethink my life. I need to. No, it's all good though, because we need to have that conversation sometimes. Oh, yeah. A lot of people who will just gloss over things.
Yeah. I mean, that was me. I was like, you know, it's like, what's that meme where it's like, I can't remember. It was like some Disney Channel thing, but he has like an ostrich. And like he has a smoothie and the two girls are like, what are you doing? He's like enjoying a smoothie. Like, you know, like you have to identify the problem. And if you never look at like, hey, I'm not taking accountability for anything, then and you just completely gloss over everything, then I mean your life will be a shit show until you do that. And I mean you have to take accountability and typically, you know, that's why I'm grateful for like the hard times that I've gone through, because that has taught me way more than the good times. You know, you don't really learn during the good times, you learn during the down. And but yeah, like you have to go through some shit sometimes in order to really learn and get that slap in the face to wake up. And like that's where I kind of gone. I mean, like I've been so low to where like I've eaten food out of the trash, like I've had no money, you know, but like it's at that lessons that's taught me. And you also have to be open-minded and you have to look inward into like, why is this happening? What have I done versus like, what has happened to me and why is this happening? You know, mm-hmm. because that's one reason why, cause like I've had, I'd say two really negative times. Mm-hmm. And the first time I avoided the whole issue and I said, oh, this is just happening because, you know, I'm not talking or like people, I'm not good at sales or whatever it may be or this, that, and the other. And then the second time it happened was my own doing, and I took accountability for that, and it changed everything. Because like I started learning lessons instead of just pushing off lessons.
That, and I think that's huge right there. That is so huge, because we'll fall into that trap on why me? Why is this happening to me? And not turning it around and saying, okay, I learned from it. Now I'm going to try to make it better. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do at whatever age we're at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it even happens in, I mean, it could be literally anything. Like I was talking to somebody about an abusive relationship she was in. And like, it took her a long time, but she's like, I finally came to terms with the fact that I was a willing participant in it. And because mm-hmm. of that, I was able to move on. And it's like, if you never take accountability, you never take ownership for your own actions, like you have no control, you know?
Yeah, you have to. And that's, it's really hard. It's very hard to do that, to admit to it.
It sucks.
It does. Oh, it hurts so bad.
It does. It's like, damn it. Why am I so stupid? Why did I do that? Oh my God. But yeah.
So have you gotten to a point, I know for me, if I just, I'm just done, I know that I'm just going to half-ass something, I have to walk away and then just come back to it later. I know that it needs to get done, but I know that I can't put my whole self into it. Do you do that at all, or do you just continue to just get through it?
I mean, I have that a lot, and sometimes, so one lesson that I learned is that you have to learn when to rest before you, or no, was it? It's like learn when to take a break before you rest or something, mm-hmm. but you know, take a break. So like, if you have to do that, then like take 10, go for a walk, you know, come back, hit it hard, you mm-hmm. know, but if you constantly just try to will yourself through it, you can't do that. And then eventually you will break.
Yeah.
So, cause like your body will tell you to rest, you know? Mm-hmm. But I mean, there's certain times where, and again, that's where discipline comes in. Like sometimes you have to do what you have to do. But no, I have that problem a lot to where I'm like, I know what I need to be doing and I'm just like not, I'm all discombobulated in my mind. So I'm like, I'm not thinking right to do it. But it comes with repetition. It comes with discipline. It comes with training. And then it kind of, you don't have to autopilot it. And like, that's a big thing. That was my problem, was like, I would autopilot the day and then you're basically a dim light for the whole day. And that's where that goes into like active rest, right? Whenever you're working, but whenever you're resting, you have to rest. You have to completely separate. And if you mix the two, same thing, like, if you mix the two whenever you're trying to rest, then like you don't really rest. And if you mix the two whenever you're working and you're only half-ass working, then you're gonna spend double the time to do half the work. And mm-hmm. you know, but that was something that, I mean, I still struggle with that, and that's rough.
Sorry.
No, I think you're like, I didn't expect to come on this podcast and talk about all this shit.
No. No, like I think, see, you are a great speaker. You have so much to teach all of us. So I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just wowed. Like, geez, Patrick, teaching me all these things right now. But I think that's one of the fun things about this, or the incredible things about this, is just learning. So I learn from you all the time. Every post question makes me rethink everything, and I like want to start over. But you know, I continue to push through it. So, but yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for all of it.
For sure.
So much.
And I mean, I love answering the like questions like this, because like, I don't really get opportunities to do interviews or anything too much. And, you know, it's weird because whenever I look at myself, I don't necessarily feel like I know all this stuff. However, whenever I'm talking with other people and they have these specific questions and I'll like give them answers, like they're like, I never thought of it that way. And because I don't talk to a lot of people, like I don't have a lot of friends that I guess I talk to or hang out with. You know, I have really just one person, which is my mentor and my, you know, my that I work with. But other than that, like, I don't really, you know, so, but whenever I have somebody that's like, hey, like, what do you think about this? Or like, what should I do this? And like, I'll give it to you straight, you know, and I'll be like, this is how it is. And people are like, and think about that. And like, I didn't think that you would think like that. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Cause yeah, people will look at me and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. He's 26. Yeah. He knows how to do his job. He knows how to do stuff. And then, you know, I had a call today where we were talking about business and he was like, well, yeah, but I'm not really doing this for this, that, and the other. And I'm like, no, but like, that's the right reasons to do it. Like everyone else is actually doing it wrong. Like, you know, your competition is trying to just make money and you're trying to actually help people. Like you will be successful and they will not. And he was like, fuck man. Like, how can we get started? You know, he's like, send me some information. Let's go. And yeah, like talking principles like that. If you can connect with somebody on a level like that, I mean, you're going to go a lot farther than any technical knowledge or anything.
Yeah. Incredible. Well, yeah, I'm proud of you for continuing to keep showing up.
Oh, of course.
Even though it's hard.
It sucks, but it kind of becomes fun. And at the end of the day, so I look at it like it becomes fun, and then it's like, well, what else am I going to do, you know?
As long as you like what you do, I think that's what makes it a little bit better. So, but yeah. No, thanks, man. Thank you for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Of course. Of course. So,
yeah. Well, I keep in touch and we will talk soon.
Definitely. Awesome. Awesome. And yeah, of course, if y'all want to follow me or whoever's watching this, you know, you can find me on Facebook. I mean, my name's in the chat. There we go. I'm like, directions, but, but yeah, so I mean, y'all could find me on Facebook and I do a lot of stuff and I'm trying to push more on mindset and I'm thinking about doing, I need to get on TikTok or something. I don't know.
I know. I thought about that too. Yep. Follow him on Facebook for right now until he ventures out and does speaking.
Eventually.
All right. Thank you so much again. I appreciate it.
All right. You take care.
You too. Thank you for listening to the True Sweet High podcast, created and founded by your host, Annette, the founder of A Wild Ride Call Life. Also, a big thank you to all of our sponsors for each and every episode that is aired. We have so much support from them and all of our listeners. You can find more information at www.awildridecalllife.com.